healing start to happen one after the other. And more you preach the healing, and the more healing are going to take place. Okay, that's the natural thing. You say that you speak the word, and the word produces results that you that the word says. Amen? I was, you know, and we have been not being very regular in that, you know, about putting the healing and things in our website. But I think I want to improve on that, you know. I mean, there have been quite a number of healing. I entered a couple of them in the website for the book. But I'm going to put some more. So I'm going to be working on that a bit in the next few weeks, because there are already quite a few there. But, you know, we get them every week. So it's kind of difficult to put everything there. The thing is, what I limit myself to is the things that are actually, you know, visible. The things that, you know, you can say, well, you know, who knows what happened. You know, when really you can be sure about it. Like, you know, if somebody that doesn't, you know, is immediate and instantaneous, is right there, you can't say anything about, you know, that's definitely the case. When, you know, there is evidence even for the doctors having said something, you know, evidently, you know, nobody can question it. Okay, in that case, it's worth putting a testimony. Otherwise, is, you know, there's not the ground. And it could have been an healing, yes. I'm not saying, you know, that it wasn't. The thing is, need to be in such a way that nobody can contest it. All right. So let's pray. Let's start with our prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you are with us and you never leave us nor forsake us. And thank you, Lord, for the things that you have made possible for us to have and to receive and to be. Lord, that we may grow into the understanding of what is available to us and the way you want us to live and ever experience our life. And we come to you, Lord, to thank you today and to open ourselves up to you as we are going to be reading the scriptures on all the benefits that you have made possible for us. And that, Lord, that we should be able to see manifested in our lives as we appropriate the reality of what you do done on Calvary. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. See, it's going, you know, the series we are dealing with is going to get better and better, because we are getting deeper into some of the aspects that Jesus accomplished. You know, on the surface, one can make some statements, but some of them seems abstract. There is nothing abstract about what Jesus did. It's really practical. It's really down to earth. It's really affecting us in all the aspects of our life, not just theologically. You know, sometimes you can have all the your theology messed up and get big results from the Lord. Other people, you know, have all their theology straight, don't get anything. So, you know, what do you want? What do you think God wants? When he, you know, Jesus said, if you don't believe what I say, you know, believe the things that I do, the works that I do. When God works, and you can't question it. Amen? Okay, so we are going to continue here. Last week, we talked about, you know, the statement and the implication of the statement, it is finished. The implication that what he did was completed, there is nothing else to do. Now it's just a question for us to appropriate what he has done, to enforce it on the physical world, because this is our job. See, he cannot do that part for us. We had to do that part by exercising our faith and taking what God has done for us. Everything that we receive from God, we receive it by faith. Nothing else. I mean, it comes because of his goodness. It comes because of his giving us grace, you know, and give us things that, you know, we really don't deserve. But we have no right to anything, but he has given us everything. That's the, you know, the great things that make us rejoice. The point is, it is done, but we had the part to play and we had to receive it. We had to receive our, you know, salvation, our being born again. I mean, doesn't, you know, everybody theoretically can be born again, but not everybody is born again. And it's not because one day God woke up and said, oh, I like that guy, let him born again. That's ridiculous. If that's the case, then, you know, you're a puppet and you have no right to, God would not have the ability to bless you for that because he blesses himself. It's not, you know, I mean, anything that you do good, if he's making you doing it, well, you don't get them, don't deserve any prize or any benefit from it. What you know, if he rewards you for something, is because you do it. No, he does it. Now, he does it through you because he empowers you, but the point is you decide to do it. And it's your decision that makes all the difference. It's your position that takes, it's your choice that you make in doing what he wants to do rather than something else, rather than maybe what you want to do or what other people want you to do. So you take that position, and so he can work through you, and he works supernaturally through you in that case, achieving things that you yourself cannot do because he uses you to as a channel to minister to others or to yourself. But the point is, he's doing it, but you are a part, you are a co-worker with him. All right. So, now, we're going to see some of the things that took place. Okay? As a result of what happened to you as you are born again. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, and following, there is a revelation of what some of the aspects that God has achieved in us. And it's interesting to realize, you know, that the revelation that Paul had about, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay, some people say, well, you know, Paul was the only one had this kind of revelation. That's not true at all. John has exactly the same revelation as is shown here in these verses we are going to read. Verse 15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now let's take back and take some things, you know, let's just take apart the scripture because there is much in it. Who confesses? It's not just a question of just saying something here. The Greek word there is homologeo, which means, homo means to, you know, the same thing, essentially. Means the same, okay? Logeo is thought or logos, you know, word. So say, you know, say, okay, we see, say the same thing that God says. Well, it's more complicated than that. See, this is, implies a consistency. See, sometimes we translate things and then we use different words in English to actually communicate the same message. He's not saying just confession here. The best way to translate that, even if it would be not necessarily literally, but it's a question of convey the concept, is to line up yourself inside with what God, with the, that word. You understand? You know, I'm lining up myself. You see, I'm consistent with what I'm saying. Then it works. It's not because I'm blabbing something that I don't believe in. If I believe it, I act on it, and I'm, you know, everything that I do reflects what I'm saying. Are you following me? It's not a question of trying to convince somebody or even yourself about it. It's because you believe it and you speak it, and so you actually are confessing that, expressing what is inside you, what you line up yourself in your position. Are you following me? Okay, he's not saying a formula. It's a reality that comes out of you because you have certain beliefs, and so you align, line up your life and your confession and everything that you do with those beliefs. So whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God's abide in him and he in God. Okay? So what does it, you know, it's interesting. You know, God abides in him and he in God. That means God abides in you and you in God. Isn't that what Jesus said about himself? See, some of the things that actually the epistles say about us are really parallel to what Jesus said about himself. This is something that we had to come to grasp with. Because the reality, you see, what takes place when we are born again is that the same way that the Holy Spirit works in us, it worked in Jesus. So the things that Jesus said about himself apply also to us, because we are in his place now. We have his ministry. We have his call. Now, according to the degree in which we respond to that and allow that to become a reality for ourselves, then it's going to change the way we are so that it can be seen on the outside. But in the inside, that took place. If God is in you, is this, the Holy Spirit is in you, is the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus, because Jesus took flesh like we are, became a man so that we can become like him. See, that was all why he came down. His purpose was not just to make us religious or go to church on Sunday and think that we are Christian because we do that. Is to have the reality of the Holy Spirit being in us, affecting us, and transforming us. And this is why in Romans chapter 12 talks about the fact that, you know, let us, you know, be, that your mind be renewed so that we are transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we may know what the acceptable and perfect will of God is for us. You see, but unless our mind is renewed and catch up with that reality inside us, it cannot manifest it. See, the transformation is really the same word, metamorphosis, the same word that is used when Jesus was transfigured in the Mount of Transfiguration. You see, in which what was inside him became evident to the eye. When you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, what is inside you becomes evident for everybody to see. And then you are going to take the place that Jesus wants you to take. That doesn't make him less. It makes you what he paid for, what he wanted you to be. Let me continue here. Verse 16, and we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in God, you know, and who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. You know, here he's not just talking about, you know, love the way the world intended. This is benevolence. It's going wanting the good of other people. This agape. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. How more clearly and plainly can you say that? The way Jesus is today, we are in this world now. I let that sink in. But that's beyond, if we look at ourselves as, you know, this is impossible. But you see, you look at your inside, you look at the outside, you look at your mind and your thing, but you have to look within yourself. What the potential is there for us to allow, you see, this is going to produce, it, just having that belief doesn't make you feel proud of yourself. Make you look at yourself as and you see the, some of the things you do and says, I can't do that. I don't want to be that way. See, automatically, you know, it comes to you and becomes a way of for you to actually be turned off for anything that is involved in your life that is not godly. When you really understand on a spiritual level that reality and you accepted it. Because the two things cannot go together. That's not, you know, what I said, there's many, many scriptures says that. Okay? So this is really, just these three sentences, you know, says everything that Paul said in many of his epistles. And it's the same message, the same idea, the same, you know, emphasis that actually, you know, is the basis of Christianity. If you don't have that, your Christianity is not real. It doesn't produce result. You had to come to that realization. You know, even in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, okay, says the same thing. And I'm now, if you look at those scriptures, in the light of what I just finished saying, you see the implication they have. You know, do you not believe that I am in the Father? This is Jesus speaking. And the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. You see, Jesus operated not as God when he was down here. He was operating exactly like a man. He took flesh and was operating as a man. He limited himself to operate as a man. This theologically is called kenosis, that's a word in Greek. Okay? But that's the reality of this, that we operate the same way. So let's continue, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. You see, this is saying the same thing that I was saying before. You see, I go to my Father. He went to the Father. What did he go to the Father for? So that we can receive the Holy Spirit. So that the Father can be sending the Holy Spirit in us. So that when we the Holy Spirit in us, we should be in the Father, and the Father is in us, and we are in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us. And who is who? Are you following me? It's like, you know, those guys with the three containers, you know, with the things inside and move it around. After a while, you don't know anymore. Especially for, you know, the devil doesn't know who he's dealing with. Because he doesn't see in the physical, he's seeing the spirit. And the spirit inside you. Hello? Only to the extent that you remove yourself from the Christ, that he can see you. All right. Praise the Lord. Jesus, you know, Acts 10:38. You know, Jesus of Nazareth went around. You know, he didn't have a plan. He just went around. That's the word there, you know, just went to places. Doing good. Every good that he could do, see around, he did it. I mean, he wasn't planning, oh, today I'm going to meet this person, I'm going to heal. That's not the way he operated. Sometimes, you know, people got healed and he didn't even know he saw them. You know, the woman with the issue of blood. He didn't know about her. So who touched me? See, the thing is, you don't need to know anything. God is inside and he does the work. But he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So oppression is of the devil. Sickness, you know, healing and oppression, you know, sickness and oppression are equivalent from that scripture because he was healing them. Hello? So, you know, sickness is not from God. And he healed them all. So that doesn't leave anybody left there. All right? Not that somebody was, okay, well, maybe, you know, I can give you some sickness because I had to teach you some lessons here. Nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. Okay. So we are called to operate like Jesus today. And he's not us doing it. It's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit ministered through him. And that's what produces the healing. And that's what produces the healing when we pray for somebody. That's what produces the healing. So you see, you're off the picture completely. It's him in you. And the more you are not hindering, the more you decrease so that he can increase, and the more you are going to see that happening more and more. See, that's what happens. When you are not anymore in blockage for him to operate, and that means, you know, that you are operating in faith, believing and agreeing with him and being consistent with that belief. That you believe that he is the Son of God, but that is the implication that as we are going to see that you are too. Because that's what he did. All right. So, again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I mean, this is not, you see, you cannot make something, this is big. Can you see how big this is? But you cannot make something that big on one or two scriptures. It's all over the place in the Bible. I mean, you can take scriptures after scripture after scripture. They're all confirming and reinforcing that idea. It was hardly understood up to recently. I would say that possibly, just maybe in the last 100 years, some people opened their eyes to see this. Which is amazing, because that was said and understood at the beginning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold. Well, you know what it means, behold? Look at this. I mean, this is something to look at. Huh? What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. That's, you see, he's saying, look at this stuff. You know, we should be called the children of God. And it is not yet been revealed that what it should be. But we know that when he is revealed, second coming, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and not in the picture that you see, for example, in the movie that you can see today from Hollywood. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. Okay? Are you seeing the point here that I'm making? Okay? So, we shall be God. What manner of love? See, this is just the love of God. I mean, God loves us to get over all our limitation and craziness and look at the world. I mean, because, you know, we were with them too. And he's just, you know, he took the step so that we can become something else. I mean, it has to be big love. People say, you know, I don't feel the love of God. Well, you got the problem. Okay? This is the love of God. This is greater love that you can ever imagine. It's not just fixing you and, you know, doing a little healing or, you know, whatever it is, even big healing, doesn't matter. It's nothing compared to this. Absolutely nothing. Let me continue. Chapter 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now, when is now? Right now, not tomorrow, not next year, not when Jesus comes. Now, we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed, and we shall be like him, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And when you start there, there are immediate consequences. You see, when you have this revelation, there are immediate consequences. Verse 3. And everyone, can you say everyone? Everyone who has this hope, that means, you know, who has this hope is nothing else than this desire and confident expectation. Who has this hope is not just, I hope so, you know, that's the hope of the world. The hope that he's really talking about here is that you are really expecting it and you are confident about it. All right? It's a big difference. You know, the other hope is maybe. Here is not a question of maybe this is going to happen. All right? And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Can you hear that? I mean, that's the impact. That's what I was saying before. You see, as soon as you realize that, you want to have nothing else with darkness. The darkness starts to fall off you. It can stick. It's like slips off. Okay, because it just doesn't fit anymore. Doesn't fit the way you see yourself, doesn't fit with the way you feel, doesn't fit with what you want, doesn't fit with anything. It comes automatically. It's like, you know, when water on a duck, you know, with the oil, that just falls off. Doesn't stick. Can't get wet. Amen. It's just spread, you know, that stuff that... It's just spread against, you know, instead of water, it's sin. But that's okay. It's the same thing. Works the same. All right. So, this is what happens. You know, and there are many other scriptures reinforcing this. For example, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For it says, for he made him who knew no sins to be the sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. See, this is the things that has to take place. That's what takes place. You see, this is when he did that so that we can be transformed in this way, so that we can actually become God's righteousness. I mean, his righteousness, not our righteousness. His righteousness. You know, I mean, if you just start seeing that, accepting that, receiving that, is not, you know, is not a theological statement. Is the righteousness that he had, you start experiencing, becoming, transforming into it. Hallelujah. This is not happening when we go to heaven. Hello? It's happening right now. It's happening the moment we start being born again. And the moment when you start to be appreciating, understanding what that meant. It's not just a question of having your sins forgiven. It's much more than that. This is what's telling us. You see, one of the greatest failures of Christianity is not understanding some of these things and accepting uncleanness and sin in our lives. You know, what, just look at the way the world goes. Okay. Generally, what you accept that is wrong and kind of allow it is going to, at the beginning, you know, maybe not just accept, tolerate. Certain things are tolerated in society for a period of time. After a while, they are not tolerated anymore. They become embraced by the society. Take any of the things that are going on today. You know, before, to be homosexual was really something that everybody was, oh, it was a problem, it was disgusting and everything else. Then, well, you know, it's okay, we tolerate them. Now, they're taking over. Our society is completely not just accepting it, but in really, that's the way to be. See, that's the way, that's is because we cannot tolerate things that are wrong because they're going to take over. Praise the Lord. Somebody has to say that. You see, if you go on a slippery slope, you're going to slip down. There is no way. Sooner or later, you're going to go down. Okay? Now, what people call grace today to justify these things is not grace. What the Bible called that is lasciviousness. Or lawlessness. You want to call it both ways, both things. You see, you cannot allow weakness in your position in certain area because it's going to destroy you, because it's going to open you up to demonic forces, and you're going to go under because that's what they want. They sneak in bit by bit. They do it morally. They do it physically. You know, you have to fight disease the same way as you fight unholiness. If you understand that, and you start getting in an aggressive position against disease, you are not going to be sick. Do you hear what I said? It's the same thing with sin. But you know, you have to be there, not allowing it. When it starts, you cut it to the bud. At the beginning is the time it's easy. After it's difficult. You have to fight it like it's the enemy coming to kill you. This is what Jesus said. The thief comes but to kill and steal and destroy. If you just let him in, he's going to do that. And you can't do anything because it's too late. You know, that's the truth. The more you have a clear position within yourself, the more you don't allow, you don't tolerate anything of the enemy. I mean, anything. See, a priority, you have to have a priority to fight anything that comes from darkness. That includes sin and includes sickness and disease. And so you have to fight it as it tries to start, because he's going to try to do it, if you like it or not. And if you just get distracted, that's the time when he does it, because he's a liar, and he's somebody that works, you know, by deception. Are you following me? So, things that we have to realize, there are some things we have to realize about what we have in Christ. First of all, that all our sins were remitted. You know, and then, but we have to realize it, not just say, okay, my sins are forgiven. You know, when that happens, there has to be a consequence of that. I mean, there has to be an impact on the way you feel about it. If you are apathetic about the thing, that means really there is no impact whatsoever. I mean, you don't care too much. But when you realize the importance, the depth of the consequences of that, then the only thing you can do is not to just rejoice, but to be grateful to the point that you just, you know, it's like, you know, you have been a bad person and, you know, the judge said, okay, well, you had to go in prison for 50 years. Okay? And then somebody comes around and says, no, wait a minute, you know, I'm going to your place and you are free. How would you feel? I mean, would you feel like dancing around the place and screaming and yelling and being glad? Okay, I mean, that's the normal, you know, and this is just maybe a few years in prison. This is eternal life in prison that we have been set free. Not only there, but even here is going to be worse. So, I mean, there has to be a reaction, because if you don't have a reaction, there is a problem with our understanding and our experience. And our reaction means that we have to be willing to respond to that. There are some things that we are going to do because He set us free. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, the thing is that those things are done away, and they cannot charge you. They cannot come back. They're done with. He took them. Praise the Lord. See, the Bible has a scripture that says that, in other terms, in Luke chapter 7, verse 47. It says there, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loves much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. So you see, sometimes people that really been messed up badly, that they realize that they've been set free, they just are keen and excited about the Lord. The one that they had always a good life, they don't really care. Not realizing that the good life that they had is just as bad as the other. But maybe not as bad, but close. Before God, the difference is another order of magnitude of holiness or goodness. Okay, so the number one thing. The second thing that we have to realize is that, you know, the salvation, what happens to us is open for everyone, whosoever will. That means, you know, you or anybody else can have the same. That doesn't make you special. However, you have to make that decision. You see, your freedom comes from your decision. You decide the right thing, and you are free. God said, today I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. That says something about Calvinism that shows it's really wrong. Because, you know, you are not making the decision. You make the decision. You are the one that has to decide to be with God instead of with the devil. And when you make the decision, automatically there is going to be a benefit and a result that is going to come from God and is going to bless you. You cannot make that decision without any consequences. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. You see, that decision is not just a decision that happens once. And that's what we have to understand. We are faced with decisions like that every day, every minute of the day. And this is a decision that we have to continually choose to be with God rather than the enemy, because we have opportunities all the time to go the other way. It's up to us to stay with the Lord. It's up to us to choose to walk with God instead of walking with the devil. You can do it. God let you go to hell if you want. Are you following me? See, but it's freedom. You see, people don't understand freedom. Freedom is the fact that we are free to choose, but also we are free to stay there, and we are free to experience the freedom that comes from being with God. Freedom doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want. It means that we can do the things that we want to do because we wanted to do them, and they're blessing us. Amen. They are not putting us under bondage. Amen. Oh, it's time. Oh, too bad. I'm just getting warmed up. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, isn't that this stuff important to understand, to grasp, and to start up living? See, this is what God wants for us to. He wants us to start living at this level. And so that, you know, when you start living at this level, you don't go around sinning. That's what John said. Okay? You cannot go around sinning when you are realizing and you are up, you know, you are in the understanding and the position that you have in Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Let's close in prayer here. We should make a confession here. Wouldn't you say? You know, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Then today, I'm a child of God. And I have that hope in me. To be transformed as your Son Jesus, to manifest the righteousness that He had in His life, in my life, down here on earth, not just when I'm in heaven. I thank you, Lord, because the day is coming when Jesus is coming back. The day is coming close. We can see it from the time. And Lord, this day, we are going to be transformed more and more like Him. And I thank you for that. And I want, and I desire to purify myself, to become like Him, to manifest His righteousness in my life, because He's pure. And His purity comes unto me as I believe that He's a child of God and I am a child of God. That He's in God and I am in God. That He was in the Father as I am in the Father. If the Holy Spirit was in Him as I is in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.